light of the television. Three kids were up late at night watching a horror movie. I don't remember if it was Frankenstein or Dracula. But as the movie was about to end and the credits were about to scroll across the screen, Christine and I would dash out of the room and bolt upstairs, leaving my brother Lewis to turn the television off and be in the dark. My brother Lewis is deathly afraid of the dark. Be afraid, be very afraid. It's the title of my message. Be afraid, be very afraid. And Lewis at that time was very afraid. Tomorrow, throughout our neighborhoods, we will be invaded by little ghosts and witches and warlocks and skeletons and goblins. But there's no need to be afraid, for they are not out for flesh and blood, but for candy and junk food. What we really need to be afraid about is that the average person will consume 25 pounds of candy this year. We should be afraid to go out tomorrow to Qualcomm Stadium because the Raiders and Chargers are playing on Halloween. Hundreds of years ago in the area of Great Britain and northern France lived the Celts, who worshipped nature and many gods, their favorite god being the sun god. And each year, their New Year's fell November 1. And November 1 marked the end of the season of the sun and the beginning of the season of darkness. And so on October the 31st, all crops would be harvested and the food would be stored for the winter and the cooking fires in the homes would be extinguished. And the Celtic priests would meet in the hilltops of the forest and they would light new fires for their new year and offer sacrifices of crops and animals while the season of the sun passed and the season of the darkness began. And in the morning, the Celtic priests would give their embers from the fires to each family so that they can use them for cooking and also keeping their homes warm, but also would free them from evil spirits. November 1 was called the Festival of Samhain, or a three-day festival where people would parade in costumes made from skin and heads of animals. This would become the first Halloween. And on November 1, they said that disembodied spirits of all those who had died last year would come back in search of living bodies to possess for the next year. It was their only hope for the afterlife. So people would dress up in all manner of ghoulish costumes, and they went around being as destructive as possible in order to frighten away the spirits that were looking for bodies to possess. I said, be afraid, be very afraid. And as they went through the neighborhood, eventually a custom developed where they would say trick or treat as they collected soul cakes, square pieces of sweet bread. And they would collect those soul cakes, and the more soul cakes you got, the more prayers you were to say on behalf of the donors of those cakes. And wouldn't you know that in the 800s that the church would pick up on some of these customs? And so the church picked up a custom to honor all the saints of the church. And then that wasn't enough. They say, why not honor all thee and all saints? Of course, was called all saints. But that wasn't enough. They said, let's honor all the dead. And so they started a custom called All Souls. And they, the church, would celebrate by lighting bonfires and people parading around dressing up as saints, angels, and devils. Be afraid. Be very afraid. The Bible kind of gives us a hint of what we really should fear. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The things that we wrestle against that we need to be afraid of are wickedness in high places. I want you to turn in your Bible to the scripture that was read so beautifully by Edna, Mark, the first chapter. It was a Sabbath. It was at church. A very unusual story quoted in the first chapter of the book of Mark. And you can look at starting around verse 23 and see what happens here. The people are astonished. Jesus takes his disciples to church and he stands up to teach. And they are amazed at him teaching with such authority. But while Jesus was teaching, in fact, Ministry of Healing says, at that point where Jesus was teaching and the men were about to be freed, the devil steps in and captures the attention of the audience. For a man had just entered, we believe, the synagogue, and the Bible says that that individual had an unclean spirit. You know what that means? That individual had a demon in him. And the Bible says, when that happened, when that man entered in and heard Jesus teaching, he cried out, "Jesus, what in the world do I have to do with you? What do we have in common?" And of course, you know the question, nothing. The demons, the Bible says, recognized Jesus' power instantly and cried out, "You have the power to destroy me," and called Jesus the Holy One. You see that in there? Look at Mark chapter 1. You'll see it's in there. And Jesus said to the man, to the demon in the man, "Be muzzled." And that's the original language. "Hold your peace." And then he commanded the demon to come out of the man. And if you'll read that account, you'll find out that he came out immediately, but reluctantly. And before he left the man, he made sure that he did every bit of damage that he could do to the individual before he left. And then the Bible says, then he howled. And then left. Be afraid. Be very afraid. You know what I got from that story as I read that account? And there are other accounts throughout the gospel of demon possession. I know in a modern world, this is probably, you know, this is not what you want to talk about. Demon possession. But it's in the Bible. Clearly. You know what I got from that? I wanted to know, could a demon get in me? Could I be possessed by a demon? That's what I wanted to know personally. You may not want to know that, but I wanted to know, is it possible for a demon to get in me in 2004? And then I read some things, I was trying to find the answer out, and I read a statement from a Presbyterian minister who had served as a missionary for many years and saw what he considered to be many examples of demon possession, but he said he never saw what he considered a true Christian that had a demon in him. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I needed that testimony. And same testimony from a Pentecostal minister that writes about such things. But I must admit, as I again continue to read, and you can look in your Bible in concordance, you'll find that demon possession is connected with sickness, many times mental health issues. But it's very difficult to pinpoint that. When it's demon possession and when it's mental health or sickness, it's hard to tell the difference. And for some people, there's a demon behind every rock. And that's really not the case. Sickness is sickness. And even in, for some of you who are familiar with the Salem witchcraft trials in Massachusetts in the 1600s, they thought it was a demon behind every rock when they hanged 19 individuals and jailed 150 people because there were some kids that they made think that they had demons in them, and they blamed everybody. But I do believe, as I continue to study, that if we reject or ignore truth, we are in many ways declaring our allegiance to Satan. And if we resist the voice of God that speaks to us, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit, then our characters will more closely, instead of resembling God, resembling someone else. And I believe that if we separate ourselves from the influence of the Holy Spirit, we can find ourselves at the mercy of the devil. And I'll take that a step further as I study. I believe that if we continue in wrong living, we will find ourselves at the mercy of the devil. And I found also that demon possession seems to work with the mind. There's always a battle of the mind. Interesting statement from Desire of Ages says that everything not in harmony with the will of God, every intent to injure others, every manifestation of selfishness fosters wrong principles, results in a weak body, a darker mind, a more debased soul. Be afraid, be very afraid, because this is alive and well. Spiritualism. That's right, 2004, spiritualism is alive and well. And when we dabble in that, we're opening up ourselves for demon possession in 2004. I know you don't want to believe this, and boy, the pastor's way, he's on the edge today. But I want you to take me very serious. I shared this morning in the morning service, when I was growing up, it was fairly traditional in Philadelphia, where I lived, in the predominantly African-American community. We were into a lot of things. It was cultural. And I remember my mother going to a seance. You know what a seance is. The lights are turned down low. Shades are drawn. You always are on time because you don't want to be late for the spirits. Really, they don't like us to be late, and there's a period of meditation, and all of a sudden an object will move on the table, a glass or something will move, a message will be written, you can't see where the hand came from, similar to that account in Daniel. And the leader who's leading the seance will seem to be possessed by another spirit. Their voice will change, their entire personality will change. Be afraid of that. Be very afraid. I'm glad. I don't think my mother stayed long in that kind of thing, but it was fairly traditional. If you wanted to know how things are going, you'd go to the fortune teller. Go to a seance and get answers. There are even spiritualist churches. Be very afraid. If you go to one of their services, they will cite Psalm Psalm 23, they'll take an offering, they'll have meditation, they'll sing a hymn that's similar to a Protestant hymn I was reading today. In their hymns and in their references, they take all references to the death of Jesus and to the atonement on the cross. They make sure that they take them out. They take a song like, "Just As I Am," without one plea. This is how it goes in the spiritualist church. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that, O God, thou madest me." These are the words. These are real words. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me." They deny the divinity of Christ and the fact that Christ is co-equal with the Father. Spiritualism is alive and well. Now, I hesitated to bring this story up because every Seventh-day Adventist has heard it in every evangelistic meeting, but I'll repeat it again. I want you to know that I know you know. On the night of March the 31st, 1848, in Hydesville, New York, Mrs. John Fox heard some strange noises upstairs. And so she went to investigate them. And she found her two daughters, and you ought to be afraid for these kind of accounts. Be very afraid. She went upstairs and found her two daughters, Margaret 15 and Katie 12, communicating with the dead. They were asking questions of the dead, and they were getting back answers through a series of rappings or knockings. One tap meant no, two meant maybe or doubtful, three meant yes. The person who they were supposedly speaking to was this friendly ghost, was Charles B. Romer, who had allegedly been murdered in the basement of the house. It gathered quite a stir among the neighbors until you would often find 300 neighbors crowded up into this little wooden house to hear the rappings. They should have been afraid. They should have been very afraid. And so much so that scientists would come and try to determine if the rappings were true or false. They never really could determine that. It gained such a stir that 6 years later, there were 15,000 spiritualists running around this country like evangelists, preaching spiritualism. Be afraid. Be very afraid. I want to ask you a question. Do you think the devil has stopped? Huh? Now, he can't be operating in 2004, huh? We won't buy into that. We won't buy into no rappings, no tappings. That's not going to scare us. Revelation chapter 16. Turn there. You got to see this. I know we all know the passage. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 13. I know we know it. You got to see this. This is a last day event. This will come and meet us. Verse 13. Revelation chapter 16. Give me a chance to find it also. "And I saw three," what, everybody? "Unclean spirits," or demons, "like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon." We know the dragon is the devil. "And out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are the spirits of" what? Verse 14. Spirit of what? Devils, demons. Listen to now. You don't want to miss this. If you're asleep, if the person asleep next to you, wake them up. I know you wasn't asleep, Gary. I see everybody. You can't hide from me. "They are the spirits of devils working
miracles.
You know, the devil, he's not the pitchfork, red tail, horns. He's not coming the way you think he's coming. He looks like a good guy working miracles. Miracles are a good thing. Amen? We pray in our churches for miracles. Who could condemn miracles? But here we have demons working miracles. Whew. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Second Thessalonians 2:9, you want to write that passage down. Go back and look at it. You want to write down Leviticus 19, verse 31. You go back and read that in your spare time. Deuteronomy 18, 10 and 14. And Isaiah 8, verses 19 and 20. You want to look at those passages. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. Leviticus 19, 31. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 and 14. And Isaiah 8. 19 and 20. I want to close with talking about a passage, another passage that you can find, Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. Talks about the same thing, but something different, a little different in this passage. It's all of us are familiar with chapter 12 of Matthew, for it's the chapter where it talks about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So we all familiar that we used to call it when we preach message, the unpardonable sin. Most of you are aware of that passage. Well, right after that, surprisingly, I don't know how we've missed this story, but right after that is a story, a parable that Jesus gives about a man who had an unclean spirit, who had a demon in him, and the demon has been cleansed. It's come out. But it says in this particular account in Matthew chapter 12 that the man, when the demons have left the man, they go around looking for a place to inhabit, and they could not find one. And guess where they went? They went back to the same guy. And when they came, the Bible says they found that the house was empty and swept. Strange language. What they found, when it meant empty, they did not find in that man who had now had a demon released, they did not find Jesus in that man and in his house. You see, one of the problems that we have, and I trust that we will adopt it, we so much stress the prohibitions, things we do not do. And in doing that, we fail sometimes to realize that our only help is to have Jesus in. It's not about what we do not do. I knew I wasn't going to get an amen on that, but that's okay. That's all right. Do not stress things we do not do. We are a positive religion. We stress what is in us. And Jesus should be in us. And if we do not have Jesus in us, we are subject to the devil. Oh, I know that. I know that wasn't going to get an amen. Jesus needs to be in us. And it said, and this is what we need to be afraid of. It said that when he found the house empty, he went and got seven other demons worse than him. And they went into the man, and the man was worse than he'd ever been. I don't know if I ought to say this, but we used to laugh about this. When we would get together, some of us, maybe ministers, shouldn't give our secrets away. But we'd say this about Adventists. And if you're a guest, this is an in-house thing, so if you're a guest, we're good people. Amen? But we say, boy, if an Adventist go out on the deep end, they really go out. If they leave the church and they start getting into sin, they go whole hog. I know hog is not an Adventist expression I'll be used. But you know what I mean. When they go out there, I mean, it's like they didn't get a chance to do it all. And so when they get out there and they try and do it all. Listen here. You ought to be afraid of that. You ought to be very afraid. The devil will not play with you if you get out there and get into the world and get into all kinds of things. He will not let you go. This is no play. You find yourself in the things that you would not even have imagined. So do not leave your house empty. You cannot afford not to have Jesus fully in you. Gotta have him. Gotta have him. As I close, Mary was 26 years old. She claimed that she was a Christian. But somewhere along the line, after the divorce of her father and mother, she developed severe mental and emotional problems. So much so that she was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. Went to all kind of counseling for a period of 5 years, could not find the answer. Finally, she met Neil Anderson, and I've shared some information from his book in the past, a pastor, counselor. And she shared with Pastor Anderson that her problem was that it was the snakes. So he said, what do you mean, snakes? He says, when I go to bed at night, the snakes come out and they crawl all over me. He said, well, what do you do when the snakes? He said, well, I'd just try and find my mother. And I'd go run to my mother. She says, but I don't like to be alone because of the snakes. He didn't know what to make out of it. He was not a psychiatrist, but he had seen demon possession before. And he said, this time when you go to bed, what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to say this. In the name of Christ, I command you to leave me. You know what you find when you read that story in Mark chapter 1 and you read other stories? You'll find that the devil does not want to be where Jesus really is. You can bank on that. And so, reluctantly, she tried. And she came in a few weeks later and told Dr. Anderson, the snakes are gone. You know that was the devil. Young people, I know the older people, we know better. Young people, do not fool with the devil. Be afraid. Be very afraid. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. That's Luke 19:20. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need more of you. We cannot be duped by this world. Spiritualism is alive and well. It's in many different forms today. And they're difficult to see.
But Lord, since we can't see them all and we're not wise enough, let us have more of you in us. Let us be directed by you to guide us. And do not even let us be tricked, even though we believe in miracles. Do not even let us in these last days be tricked by miracles. Lord, help us to test everything by the word of God. We thank you, Lord. We're not afraid any longer because we have you. Thank you, Lord, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. We still friends? I know that was different. Amen.